Dan, you're very welcome to In Business and thanks for joining me in studio.
Thanks for having me, Amber.
I'm delighted to have you here. So I suppose to start off, I think a lot of our listeners will probably be familiar with you, but just tell us a small bit about yourself and your background.
Well, I think the main thing really is I've been self-employed for 45 years plus. I tried the employee route and lasted about 2 years and I found out I was totally unemployable. You know, and it wasn't that the employers were wrong, or we just weren't aligned. And then I started, out of those 45 years, 20 years ago, I started working with businesses. One of the things I have, and for your listeners, I'm dyslexic. But I find with dyslexia, you have this creative side to you that you can see things that other people can't. And I have found that has really been beneficial to working with companies. So that's what I've been doing.
Fantastic. Talk me through the whole aspect of being self-employed, because, you know, we hear so much about it and people can portray it as very difficult, I suppose, because sometimes your whole life can revolve around a business as well. And I suppose, you know, the buck stops with you and everything falls on your shoulders. So it can be quite difficult. But I can imagine there's probably a lovely side to it as well, Dan.
Yes. I think the one thing I would say to people, they go to college and they learn their skill or whatever. They can be very, very good at what they do. But building a business around that skill is a different thing altogether. But the good part, what I find about being self-employed, is you now have total control of your own destiny. And also, somebody stopped me in the street this morning and they were talking about the books, which we'll be talking about in a minute. It's called Self-Employed, The Forgotten Community. But they said to me, is that only for self-employed people? And my answer, I found the answer I gave them was, listen, whether you're self-employed or employed, you're only as good as your last quarter. So outside of the public sector, everybody is, in my mind, self-employed. You just get paid in a different way. You get paid at the end of the month. But, you know, it is as good as the company is doing. As I say, you're only as good as the last quarter.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's good advice for people. I think you're a good message to give people there. Mm. You mentioned your book. Obviously, you've written a book and it's called Self-Employed, The Forgotten Community, as you mentioned there. So before we talk about the book itself, what prompted you maybe to take on this challenge of writing a book?
Okay. I didn't realise there was a book in me. For someone that got a D in past English, I didn't think there was a book in me. But I had a conversation with a book publisher, Orla Kelly from Cork. And like I had it in my head that if I write a book, it's about me. She's like, you could write about me in the back of a stamp. But she pointed out that you have a lot of years behind you. There's a lot of mistakes made. There's a lot of good things happen. You know, you should kind of bring that together. And I thought about it. And Amber, it was unbelievable when it started to flow. I found that I had such a passion for helping people and showing them the mistakes I made, just showing them the mistakes my colleagues around me made over 40 years. I wrote 11 chapters in 3 weeks. It was unbelievable the way the whole thing flowed. And I think it was down to real passion. And a lot of it stemmed from the crash in 2008. I found that self-employed people, some of them unfortunately made the ultimate sacrifice. Right, we remember it well. I will never forget it. You know, and I am always trying to champion self-employed people because I'm in total awe of self-employed people.
Absolutely, because it's such a big leap and a big chance to take as well, but it's a very brave one to take to become self-employed, isn't it, Dan? And it's a brave choice to make, I suppose, in a difficult economy.
It is, but I look at it differently. As I said to you earlier in the start of this chat, was that I was employed for about maybe 2 years. So, right, I was never as nervous because I had no control over my own destiny. Someone in the company would decide, do you know what, we don't need that department anymore. You know, so you've no control. Yes. Well, what I find when I'm self-employed, I have control. Mm-hmm. And I look at it like glass half full. And it was 2005, I ended up in hospital with stress, pain up my back. Surgeon said, you have a fireball developed in your stomach. That's going to get cancerous if you don't take control of it. I made a decision then, no matter how bad things were going to get, in our lives, I was going to stay self-employed because I had control.
Okay, that's really interesting. Mm. And it sounds like it's a decision that you don't regret and that you obviously really enjoyed and where you excelled in your life.
It is, and I learned from my mistakes. And again, as I mentioned, dyslexia, you have the ability to pick yourself up, dust yourself off and go again. Because in the frame of dyslexia, things don't come easy to you. You know, I remember going to school and I was in secondary school and there was a teacher there doing physics and he had written up on the board, you know, Amber, he might have been talking Swahili. I hadn't a clue what he was saying. So things were difficult for people with dyslexia all the time. But you get used to, okay, reset again, go again. And that has stood to me.
It's amazing. And I want to talk to you about the book and what's in the book as well. But before we do that, I want to touch on the dyslexia part, because how did you find writing a book then as someone who has dyslexia?
The one thing I said to myself is, AI, where were you in the 80s when I really needed you? What I found was that I just went with the heart. I wrote with my heart and I didn't bother about words the wrong way or spelt the wrong way or anything, because I knew, okay, I now have a backup. I can write my chapter, I can put it in to my new best friend and they will sort that part out, but not losing me in the process, you know. And I found it very fulfilling. But the pride, Amber, when I got my book delivered to me by own post, it was something I have never experienced.
I can imagine. It's fantastic. I'm looking at a copy of it here now and it's beautiful. The cover of it and everything, it's gorgeous. You must be delighted with it. It must be an amazing feeling because so much work goes in behind the scenes to a book. It's not as simple as just, you know, having all these thoughts and putting them down on paper and it's done. It's a long and it's a difficult process to create a book that's worth people reading.
Yeah. What I found was that I have to give a shout out to Orla Kelly, the book publisher. You know, she has been there. She's a fantastic story herself. And she guided me along, you know, and on the process. But I think the big thing, yeah, there's pride. Yes, the front cover, that is Villincha Island, where I'm from originally. And that photograph was taken from where I was born and reared. And it's looking up the harbour into Carsevine and, you know, and there's a story there as well, you know. So I found the pride in it then overweighed maybe the writing of the book.
Okay. That makes perfect sense. It's fantastic and it's gorgeous. And I'm reading here on the front cover as well. It says, how to build a business that serves your life, not the other way around, which I think is very important.
Now, that to me is key, because when we're self-employed, we tend to white knuckle stuff and we keep going. We keep like, we never say no. And we try and build a business to the detriment of family life. Like we start a business, we grow a business, the business comes first whether we like it or not. You know, we have another gig to do, we have more work to do, we get another customer, and hopefully we have a family life after. But what I'm saying is, no, get your lifestyle first. And what I mean by lifestyle is not the yacht in Barbados. That's not the lifestyle I'm talking about. I'm talking about being there for the kids. Young Sean has soccer at 6:30. Are you there for it? So I'm saying is, design your lifestyle and bolt a business on to support that. It's the complete opposite to what we traditionally know. And trust me, I know.
Yeah.
Because I did it wrong for years.
Okay, that's very interesting. And when you made that switch and you changed things around, how did it, I suppose, change your life at home maybe, but also change your business life? Because it sounds like it changed it for the better then.
Like, you know, people talk about work-life balance. I don't think there is such thing as work-life balance, because balance means it's equal on both sides. It's work-life blend is what we should be really talking about. Mm-hmm. And I have found that I learned all this stuff in California. Yes, I learned an awful lot from my mistakes. But then when I went to California and did some courses there, the whole thing made sense to me. Like, I don't really remember our son growing up, you know, because we were so busy. And back in the day, I was working, trying to build a business during the week. And then I played in a wedding band 40 years. So it was a case of, it just Friday evening, you came home, quick shower, out playing for the winning Friday night, Saturday night, playing in the pub Sunday night, and you're back to work again Monday. And I did that for years. So when I say about work-life blend, unfortunately, I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And it's good to see that you can recognise that, I suppose, and you can see, I suppose, the changes that you wanted to make in your life as well. When we talk about the book, I suppose you mentioned earlier, it's not just for the self-employed, that it's for, you know, a vast range of employees as well. Talk me through some of the things that are in it. I know you can't go through every aspect, but a little flavour maybe of what's in it and how you think that will help people, I suppose, on their journey.
Yeah, a couple of things that I mentioned, I've been very strong on. Nobody knows your business better than you do. It's just a question of stopping, thinking, planning and implementing. You know, a lot of people, they might stop, they might try and plan, or they might go on training courses. But if you don't implement something, if you don't make change, nothing is going to happen in your business if you don't make change. I mentioned there briefly that I was playing in a wedding band, right? So functions and all that. I remember, Amber, every New Year's Eve, we would sing Auld Lang Syne like everybody else. And then I'd say, yep, this year is going to be my year. This is going to be my year. And I mentioned this in the book. But it wasn't my year. It went on for years. Why? Because I thought about this is going to be my year, but I didn't change anything to make that happen. Yeah. So we talk a lot about that in the book. Mm-hmm. We talk about filtering the type of clients you get. People deal with the wrong target market a lot. They deal with a target market that won't pay them in time, don't listen to them, don't respect what they do. They'll be price conscious. They want everything yesterday. You know, to me, that's the wrong target market. And the other thing that we mentioned in the book, it, as you said, we mentioned loads of things, but I just one more thing that I think is really important is nowadays finding your own lane. I have found a massive difference since COVID. Yeah. Now, the noise out there. So sales is about providing a solution to a problem. Mm-hmm. But now with the advent of online and has grown so much since COVID, people have an awful lot of solutions to choose from. Okay. So how is your solution to a problem better than anybody else's? So that means you must find your own lane. You know, what business are you really in? We had an example of a client above in Limerick, and they were training manual handling and all that kind of stuff. And they could never really grow the business. They just hit a ceiling until one day I started working with them, and wasn't any great accolade of mine now, but it was just we stumbled across it. Okay. That they thought they were in the training business, but they weren't. They were in the safety business. And they found their niche and they found their lane and they tripled their business because they found their lane. And nowadays, you can't have broad stroke marketing because there's so much noise out there. You're not able to cut through that noise and highlight you as being the solution to a problem. So find your lane.
That's a really good message. And I think it can be difficult for people to do that, I suppose, especially self-employed as well, Dan, because you're so busy, I suppose, focusing on the business and trying to make it successful that sometimes you don't think to take that step back and to reflect and to look at the business and kind of say, as you said, am I doing this the right way that's going to work in the most successful way? It can be a difficult thing to do.
I'm glad you said that, Amber, because if someone says to me, what is the hardest thing you have to do when you take on a new client is get him to stop. You know, we're doing a presentation there in a few days' time, and we're talking about resilience. Mm-hmm. Resilience to me is having the guts to stop and think and plan and implement. Because if you don't do that, you're on this famous hamster wheel and nothing changes. If they get nothing out of this interview, just think of me playing Auld Lang Syne every New Year's Eve, and this year is going to be my year. But it never was. Because why? I didn't change anything. So I'm glad you said that. That please stop, think, plan, implement.
Yeah, that's a really good message. I know the book is launching and obviously you'll want people to get their hands on it. How can they do that, Dan? Or where will it be available?
Yeah. Now, first of all the proceeds are going to Kerry Mental Health Association because I'm not in the business of writing books. You know, so it's not what I do. But I found there's a real direct connection between mental health and self-employed, and indeed implied you know, let's not forget the implied people in this as well. You know, so all proceeds go to Kerry Mental Health Association, and where you can buy the book is a website called Buy the Book, as in B-U-Y, buythebook.ie. Lovely company above in Mayo. They're brilliant. They're so efficient. And you just go on there and you will see Self-Employed, the Forgotten Community.
Fantastic. And I know you've done work with the Kerry Mental Health Association before as well. I think you did a skydive, was it? Fair play to you. You're braver than I am, for sure. But it's important to you that people, you know, go out and support the book, because the funds are going to such a worthy cause.
Yeah. Sometimes what I do, Amber, is that maybe every couple of years I'll do... I'm not great at supporting charities, believe it or not. But every couple of years I'll go big or go home. So I picked Kerry Mental Health Association because they're very, very professional. And if you collect money for them, they have the facility to ring fence that money for something in particular. So a couple of years ago, dealing with their general manager, John Drummy, he said they were looking for funds to train first aiders in mental health. And I said, okay, how much does that cost? He said it costs about $2,500 to train one person. So I said, okay, I'll do a skydive and we'll raise $2,500 and we'll get one trained. He said, great. So we raised $11,500. So we were able to have, we had great success with that. And I'm a great believer supporting mental health, because it's so important. You know, you cut your leg, we can see the cut and we can put a Band-Aid on it, we can do it. But we can see the cut in the brain, you know.
Just one last question before we finish up, Dan. It's probably included in the book anyway, but if you had a message for, we'll say, self-employed or an employed person that was listening at the moment and maybe was struggling with where they were at, what would your main message be to them?
I would say, do not be afraid to ask for help. You know, just remember this. You could be very, very good at what you do, but building a business around that takes a different set of skills. You spend 4 years in college learning your profession, your trade, or whatever it is, right? It's impossible to go self-employed then with that profession and build a business, because building a business takes a different set of skills. So ask for help.
A great message, and it's been lovely to talk to you, Dan, and continued success, and I have no doubt that the book will be a huge hit among a very large group of people. But thanks so much for coming in and for talking to me about it.
Thanks for having me, Amber.